Blog Talk Radio.
Monday with a little 8-bit weapon.
Yay!
Woo! How you doing, Ginger?
Excuse me. I'm awake.
What the hell was that?
A little burp. My bad.
Was it a burp and a yawn all at the same time? Because that's what it sounded like.
Pretty much is exactly what that was.
Multitasking.
I know. Well, I woke up late. I kept hitting my alarm. I was like, I don't want to get up. I can't believe it's Monday. I don't want to get up. I don't know. I was up too late watching Star Trek. I'm totally, like, addicted at the moment to watching Star Trek Voyager. And, yeah. I'm close to the end, I think. I'm close to the end. And then I can go back to being normal-ish.
You know, I'm worried about you.
I can't help it. I cannot help it. It's so much fun. It's. I'm on a big Star Trek thing. I even downloaded Star Trek Online this weekend, which I intend to play sometime this week.
You know what? You need to stay out of my head because I had that open all weekend going, I'm going to download this any minute now. I'll get to it in a minute.
Download it. We'll play.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. Ginger, this has nothing to do with the podcast, but you are going to lose your flipping mind.
You're going to tell me then because...
Oh.
Is it that good? Are you touching yourself?
I may have to touch myself.
Really? Is that good? What is it?
Three words for you. Liquid mesh deformer.
I saw that, and I saw a post about it, about how it wasn't very good, so I don't know.
The people that are developing that actually had a Kickstarter. They needed $5,000, and they got it, and then some. So, apparently, one of my lovely little friends on Google Plus, Strawberry Singh, has posted a tutorial on how to use it and abuse it.
Hotness. I'll have to check it out then.
Yeah, I got the link for you. I'll give it to you after the show.
Well, I got some news, and it's not exactly game stuff, but it's still awesome. And that picture's not blown up good enough. Hold on, let me see if I can get it to actually fit to the screen. There we go. All right, so if you're looking at our Twitch channel, which, by the way, is twitch.tv/gaminatrix_GGR, picture of what looks to be a pressure cooker on wheels, and everybody's like, what the hell? Well, that cool little thing was built by two schoolgirls, and it's their homemade Mars rover that you can drive.
Oh, we did that one. Are they? So what's the update on that? Are they still?
Oh, we did. We did.
Yeah, yep. Might have been Monday before you came back.
Yeah, all right. So 13-year-old Camille Beebe and her sister Genevieve, 11, built a functioning robot model after NASA's now-deceased Mars rover Spirit. That is so cute. Their mechanical creation is going to be unveiled this Saturday. Well, sorry, was unveiled this past Saturday, August 10th, as part of an interactive Mars exhibit at the New York Hall of Science in New York City. So if you got to go see that, if you got any close-up pictures, if you met these girls, let us know. I mean, A, girl power, hotness, and B, redheads. Woohoo! But,
you know what? You are out of control.
How about out of control? Man, redheads never get enough love.
Oh, we got a GGR alum in the room there. Hello, Danger. Hello.
Hello. The gingers are coming for you. So watch out, people, because these two little redheads, way smarter than you.
They are.
So cool that they did this. The rover's got an infrared camera, sonar sensor, thermal array sensor, and other technology. A 13-year-old and 11-year-old built this.
Girl.
That is just
a girl on the end, because we want them to understand it was
the girls. The girls did this. That is amazing and so cool. Just adopt y'all because y'all are so cute. That's way smart.
All right, I got a little bit here from our good friend Julie Odell over at Venture Beat. Apparently there'd be pirates in your browser.
No! Get out of my browser, pirate.
You want this. The Pirate Bay, and if you are one of those people who like your software a little less than legal sometimes, you know exactly what Pirate Bay is. Stop shaking your head saying, they have introduced the Pirate Browser. It's supposed to be a very tasty blend of Firefox and Tor with some snazzy add-ons that circumvent anti-piracy measures.
Where do I get this?
Ginger, you're not supposed to say that stuff on air. You know we're being watched.
F you, government, F you, FBI, F you, everybody. You know what? Jihad and president and
What else am I going to say?
You're
going to say terrorist.
Terrorist? Or you're such a terrorist. I've got a dog good authority.
Yes, I'm a terrorist to Sims. Okay, anyway, so this is a Pirate Bay's 10-year anniversary, in case you didn't see it on there. Website. Don't ask me how I saw it. I just, you know, passing through. The Pirate Bay team says it created the Pirate Browser to get around censorship measures that prevent people from accessing the Pirate Bay in countries as diverse as Germany, Italy, the UK, Malaysia, China, almost all of Scandinavia and India, to name but a few. Microsoft chat services and Facebook also block sharing of private bay links. Really? Did y'all think that would stop people? Anyway, okay, so in a blog post, Pirate Bay writes, don't know any people who can't access TPB or other torrent sites because they are blocked, or do you know anybody? Recommend Pirate Browser to them. It's a simple one-click browser that circumvents censorship and blockades and makes the site instantly available and accessible. No bundled adware, no toolbars, no other crap, just pre-configured Firefox browser. So you have to use Firefox to use it. The browser won't give you any Tor class anonymity for all of your browsing. It'll only take care of the search result censorship, so they'll still be able to see you when you're stealing your software. The Pirate Bay, which prides itself on resiliency, has had more than its share of legal woes over the past couple of years in particular. The hosting situation has become a game of geological whack-a-mole, with North Korea currently providing virtual asylum to the service. Oh, wow. Okay, wait a minute. Nope. I'm sorry. There was an update from Jolie. The North Korean hosting press release was the Pirate Bay's idea of a joke. So nobody knows where they are, actually. Smart boys over there. Smart boys and girls at Pirate Bay.
That is amazing. I want this. I need the link.
I can't. Okay, I'll give it to you, Ginger. The rest of you are on your own. I will not be responsible for your being bad. There you go, Ginger. Oh, darn, I shouldn't have put it there. Look, I shouldn't have put it there, should I? All right. So if those of you go look it up. I want to see it.
I do, too. I do, too, and I want it.
Well, that's quite interesting there. That is very interesting. I'm not going to make any more comments regarding this. I'm going to back away. Keep my mouth shut.
Well, since we were... And I don't know if y'all read this Friday or not, because, yeah, I was totally arguing with people Friday. It was all kinds of fun. Anyways, Time Warner CEO, piracy is better than an Emmy. That's right.
He's actually right. But do share. Continue.
I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. According to the CEO of Time Warner, which is a picture of him here, Tom Adams is his name, I think. He says that, of course, piracy is better than an Emmy. Game of Thrones is a show on HBO. It's kind of a big deal. The show is so popular, in fact, that it's apparently one of the most pirated shows on TV. Yeah, it just might be. Not that I know anything about that. HBO is owned by Time Warner.
So of course you wouldn't know anything about that.
No, of course I wouldn't. Hey, all I got to say is I own all the discs that are out right now. What do you think CEO Jeff Fuchs has to say about people watching without an HBO subscription? He says, well, that's better than an Emmy. According to, who's dinging me? Are you dinging me?
That's me.
According to the CW, Big Cheese, a word of mouth generated by piracy is even more valuable than the prestige earned by an Emmy. He says, we've been dealing with this for 20 or 30 years. People sharing subscriptions, running wires down the backs of apartment buildings, our experience is that it leads to more paying subscriptions. I think you're right that Game of Thrones is the most pirated show in the world. That's better than an Emmy. On the other hand, Adams, who is a research director for U.S. Media at IHS Electronics and Media, points to a possible downside. He says where piracy is really eating the industry's lunch is DVD sales. It's shrunken that business by several billion dollars. Something tells me that wasn't on Book's mind when he made this statement. All right, Adams, I'm going to tell you right now that there are certain things that I will watch online, and as soon as it's out on DVD, I go and buy it. Because I don't want to wait 6 months for you to put it out on DVD. I want it now. If you put it out sooner, I'd be all over that. You'd be getting my money like the day after the series is over. I'm telling you, the day after the series is over, I'll be buying that DVD set.
Well,
and
he,
I buy the good set.
But he's right, though. For most of us, if we buy, if we download the games, because, you know, we said that here, I've been known to grab me a game or two, but I always go back and buy it because I like to have it. It's a lot of trouble. They seem to think it's easy. You just click one place online and you find exactly what you're looking for.
Because those places are constantly getting shut down and moved, and it's a pain in the
viruses, and so it's not easy to find the stuff. So,
it's
yeah.
Lag, quality.
Yep.
No,
if I
mean,
want to watch it or have it, I'm going to buy it because I don't want to have to do that every single time I want to watch
it. I watch the crappy stream, and then as soon as it's out on DVD, I'm telling you that day, I am down there at Walmart buying it because I want it. But then I come home, and I have like a whole little marathon where I start from season one, and I go all the way through again. So, yeah. You people be crazy. Be crazy saying, piracy's bad. Bullcrap.
Not really.
Bullcrap. Piracy, just like this guy saying, brings you quite a bit of money.
Speaking of piracy, last week you probably heard LavaBit and Silent Circle were shut down because they were offering some sort of email type asylum to Edward Snowden. Well, Kim.com says, I got this. Put my site up there, Ginger. Kim.com has, of course, if you haven't heard, you should have heard from us, his own file sharing service, Mega. They're going to launch their own secure email application, according to ZDNet reports. Mega already claims to provide secure file sharing and cloud storage services that are not hosted on U.S.-based servers. Now Mega would add email to its list of services. Now, ideally, if Mega is successful at creating a secure solution, it wouldn't be subject to searches by the NSA. That's right. NSA can't touch it. LavaBit was recently shut down by its founder, who said he didn't want to be complicit in crimes against the American people. And that wording tells me everything I need to know. They went after him. NSA leaker Edward Snowden also reportedly used LavaBit. Mega CEO Vikram Kumar was also called the closures of LavaBit and Silent Circles as acts of privacy seppuku. He says and he's also leading work on a new project. But
wait. I think I put up the wrong link. I put up the wrong link.
Did you?
No, I didn't. I put up the right one. Never mind.
It's okay. It takes a minute for it to All right, so the biggest tech hurdle they're saying is providing email functionality that people expect, such as searching emails, that they're trivial to provide emails that are stored in plain text or available in plain text on the server side. He says if all the server can see is encrypted text, as is the case with a true end-to-end encryption, then all functionality has to be built client-side, and that's just quite impossible. Or very, very hard at the least.
Impossible.
While the plan sounds good thus far, megafounder.com has said he might have to pull Mega partly out of New Zealand, where it's hosted now, because new surveillance legislation could be passed that could make New Zealand almost as bad as the U.S. when it comes to privacy. And he says the U.S. government and the other Five Eyes partners, Five Eyes, I haven't heard that one before, U.K., Canada, and Australia and New Zealand have an agreement to push for new Something was coming. They're going to push for new spy legislation that will provide them with backdoors into all internet infrastructure and services. Yes, they all up in your Xboxes too. .com told Torrent Freak on Saturday. He said the NZ government is currently aggressively looking to extend its powers with this GCSB and the TICS and a whole bunch of other acronyms we don't really care about, which will force service providers with encryption capabilities to give them secret decryption access. Ooh.
Woo-woo.
This fight is going to get uglier before it gets better.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, before I let Ginger, I'm going to have to do a second one here because I got to give you guys a heads up. There is an app, apparently.
Is there an app for that?
Well, it's called Snapchat.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, you don't want to use that. It saves your Snapchat messages, and it won't even let you know. So just make sure you don't download Snapchat. Stay away from it. It's supposed to give you privacy, but you don't have it. So if you're trying to do your sexting or send in dirty pics, it might wind up somewhere you don't want it to, just so you know.
All your dirty pictures belong to us.
And if I get them, they're going up on Facebook. But no, be careful with Snapchat. Just right. Might want to avoid that till they make some updates.
All right. I have a question for the people who are listening, because y'all said I sound like I'm in a vacuum. I've kind of rearranged my mic a little bit. Do I sound any better at all? Because I'm working on it. It's a USB mic. And it's really, really close to my mouth right now.
Put it further into your mouth.
I don't think it goes any further without me, like, actually chomping down on it.
Do that.
So.
I can't believe you're not catching on to what I'm saying. So go ahead and put it in your mouth.
Yeah, I'm in one. It's Monday morning. I'm not allowed to be dirty.
Just slightly dirty.
I'm not allowed to be dirty. All right. Did y'all happen to talk about the lawsuit against GameStop Friday?
No.
Okay, well, then let me pull this up for you.
Oh, that is juicy.
And why do I have stuff opening in the wrong windows? Stop that. All right, so GamePolitics.com, because y'all know I love that place, has a wonderful little article up this morning talking about New Jersey court approves used game lawsuit against GameStop. A federal judge in Camden, New Jersey. Did you have something? All right, so a federal judge in Camden, New Jersey, has given the green light on the lawsuit against GameStop that's been filed by three customers who claim that three of the company's South Jersey Shore stores sold used games that sometimes cost more than buying the game new. I'd like to back up here and slap the Jersey Shore people who bought the games that cost more used than to get new.
Yeah, that's not GameStop's fault. That's your fault for being
so that's your stop. Yeah, that's your fault. Lay off the fake tan, okay? The lawsuit alleges that GameStop did not disclose to customers that buying used games would have an additional cost of anywhere from $10 to $15 online. Again, have y'all three been living under a rock? Because everybody knows this.
Wow.
All three of the plaintiffs bought EA games, which have until recently contained online passes. John Farley of Marlton, New Jersey, was first to sue the company. He bought Need for Speed Hot Pursuit X used in 2011. He took it home and tried to play it online. That was when he said he was hit with an extra fee of $15.
Poor baby.
Yeah, I know, right? Jamar McGee of Beverly and Hakana Ozdenser of Blackwood. Oh, my God. What the hell? Oh, and Hakana Ozdenser Blackwood also led GameStop deceive them when they bought used games. Each paid $45 for used games. Again, $45 is about the price of a new game, so you weren't getting a good deal there, just saying. McGee bought Madden 2010, and Ozdenser purchased FIFA Soccer 2010. Both had to pay an additional fee to play it online. The lawsuit seeks refunds for those who bought games since June 2006 in New Jersey. A similar lawsuit in California led to a settlement by the retailer in April of last year. Again, people, stop it! Everybody has known for a while that if you buy a used game, most likely if you want to play it online, you're going to have to pay that extra fee. That's nothing new. And oh my effing God, why would you pay $45 for a used game? $45 is usually about the price of a new one. Just splurge the extra $10 and get the brand new one. What the F is wrong with you? I'm telling you.
I'm telling you.
It's a whole, what is that? GTLO something? I don't know. Something. Whatever it is. Lay off the
pan.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell's wrong with you people over there in Jersey. I mean, you got the whole little Oompa Loompa freaks going on.
God.
Stop it! Stop it! How'd you Oompa Loompa?
Wow. Y'all have upset the dishes.
Seen some of those girls on those shows? Oompa Loompas.
I'm trying to figure out why you were standing in the store and you said, this game costs $40. I think I'm going to buy the used copy for $40.
I dropped on their heads. Maybe their mom smoked during pregnancy. I don't know.
Why are you? All right. Got some nice news from Google this morning. See, sometimes we geek out amazing things. Google has launched an app called One Day, which I need to give the link to Ginger. I'm sorry, I'm moving a little slow this morning. So if you have a Google or you've access to Google Store, please do go over. It's called One Day. And it puts the spotlight on some of the best charities. All charities are best charities, actually, but some great charities. And it lets you give $1 at a time. The whole premise is supposed to help eliminate roadblocks that stand between your money and deserving nonprofits. First, it takes away the decision of exactly how much do you give. So you just give a dollar, and then they distribute it, I guess. Very few exceptions. Most Android users do have a dollar and are more than happy to give to causes they can support ideologically. Second, it gets rid of analysis paralysis, the inability to choose a charity precisely, which I suffer from. I'm like, well, this one needs more money. Well, maybe they need more. Okay. Thirdly, it also takes care of some of the research behind trying to find a place to donate your money. So also, instead of giving to a nonprofit as a whole, you donate your dollar to a fund. Fund a nonprofit specific project, and the nonprofits can create a project in about 10 minutes. And the more people share the project, the closer it comes to being fully funded. Kind of like a Kickstarter in a way. The app is in a limited test pilot for right now, but this week marks its availability to all users because it's been in private, closed beta, if you will, but since before. Good luck. You can check more out on their blog there at googleforprofits.com. I'm sorry, .blogspot.com.
This is cool. I'm going to have to install this. And wasn't it just Thursday that Microsoft was all up in Google's lunch? How dare you be wanting to install internet in Africa with all these starving, horribly diseased children? Oh, my God, you're going to put up balloons with internet. You're so evil. And now look, Google's all like, GTFO, yo, SPFU, look at us.
We're going to give some of our money to a good cause.
We're going to bring internet and money to these kids. Nah. What you think now, Microsoft?
I'm going to be quiet. I have to stay out of some of these fights now.
No way, man. I want to throw popcorn from each side and be all like, huh? Come on. Call that fighting.
I got to stay out of it.
No way, man. I'm all like feisty today. I'm all like, fight. Tear the shirt off. Woo!
No, ma'am.
Someone get the jello.
No, ma'am. I need you to calm down. Breathe.
I don't wanna. All right, so. at my mic, and, you know, I'm curious, because my mic was turned around backwards. I'm curious if that's any better. But anyways, Xbox One players can share libraries across Xbox Live Gold accounts. Yeah, that's right. It sounds like Microsoft is still trying to butter us all up and trying to get us to be stupid enough to buy their new Xbox crap. Yeah, I said it. No one at Microsoft would be foolish enough at this point to deny that messaging on Xbox One's various features has been, oh, I love how that's put it, muddled. Since the E3 press conference where they totally got their ass stomped by PlayStation 3 and Sony, where it took so much heat for all its policies that seemed to be anti-consumer that they're still trying to dish out, Microsoft has made some serious effort to turn things around. They've done this by changing its stance on everything from indie games requiring a first or third-party publisher and the Xbox One having to be always connected, tossing out its system for managing used games. One of the things that was lost when Microsoft nixed its whole ecosystem for managing used games was a plan that would allow consumers to share digital content with friends and family. It was one of several good ideas revealed during its E3 press conference, and, well, now it looks like it's back, at least somewhat. According to our people, according to the people over at GamesBeat, Xbox One is going to allow anyone in your home to have access to digital games already purchased on the system. Everyone in your home can share digital games with each other. Your Xbox One can become your virtual game library filled with digital games that different people in the home bought. All right, hold on. Back up. Stop. Whoa. Y'all weren't going to allow this?
No. You can share with your friends.
My husband has simple profiles. If I bought a game, he wouldn't be able to play my game? That is some bull crap.
I'm glad you went with the C and not the S one.
I have to think about it. Oh, my God. Really, Microsoft? What the hell is your issue? Are you just... My brain is exploding.
Breathe.
Why would you
inhale
do
the
that?
Nose,
it's a console for the family. That's what these game consoles are supposed to be.
Inhale through the nose, drink your exhale through the mouth.
So he was supposed to have his own Xbox, and I was supposed to have my own Xbox.
I said inhale through the nose, exhale through the mouth.
Really? That is just mind-blowing. Oh, my God. Wow. No, you know, if I needed any more reasons to not want to buy this, well, here's another one. And I'm glad you're going to allow us to, you know, play the games we bought.
Isn't that nice of them?
Buy a game twice.
Isn't that nice?
You know what's even nicer? Sony. Sony never had this, never considered this. All the games I download and play, my husband can play on his account, too, on the same PS3. So guess who I'm going to be going with when the new consoles come out? Oh, that's right. Sony is all up in this jello right now.
Somebody get her. Just catch her and tie her down. Just go ahead. How about I just lost my story? That is not cute. That is not cute. I just lost the whole flipping story, and I was excited, too.
That's fun. I'll go ahead and get this one out of the way. I've been trying to put it off because you know how much I hate RuneScape, but sorry up on the screen, so let me go ahead and get this done.
Do it.
RuneScape 3 launches first quest in the new Sixth Age. That's right, that game that I love to hate. Now that the gods have returned to RuneScape, they are wasting no time on this crappy game, unleashing their influence to win over the inhabitants of Gyllenor. Since launching RuneScape 3 last month, Jagex hasn't wasted any time pulling together the first quest content for the new Age of RuneScape. By the way, Jagex is hiring Corey to say the Death of Chivalry. The first quest to be released since RuneScape 3's launch, and features one of the key figures in RuneScape's colorful cast of heroes, Sir Owen. Sent on a mission to recover a powerful artifact, players will join him as they infiltrate the notorious Black Knight Castle in order to retrieve this mysterious artifact for the mighty god Serodomin. Somebody needed some serotonin? Anyway, Sarah Doman. There are decisions to be made and secrets to be revealed, but players will need to choose wisely as the choices made here will impact far and wide. Yeah.
You're not happy about the RuneScape?
I hate RuneScape. I mean, it looks better. I'm going to give them that. It no longer looks like toilet paper crap. I don't know. It's RuneScape. I remember it years back, and maybe that's my deal. But I need to go back and look at it now. And I've seen it in the past year, and it does look much better, but I still cannot stand it. I cannot stand it.
All right, throw mine up, because I'm all excited.
No.
that's right. Go ahead and guess. Project Spark developer Team Dakota showed off some of the Spark gameplay last week on their Twitch channel, which you should be following, because we are. The team's the team's live streamed over 40 minutes. Are you showing my gameplay, woman?
I am.
Get my gameplay up. Get some gameplay up. There we go.
Oh, it's offline.
No, you can hit play. Get one of those at the bottom. Go ahead. Click right there where it says highlights. Go ahead. All right, so they showed off 40 minutes of live gameplay over Twitch TV, showing off the powerful level design and NPC AI tools. This first look is a look at how easy it is to build generic fantasy environments to explore, including exploding goblin enemies. You can fast forward to around 35 minutes, and they will guide you through the team's Limbo-esque monochrome level spotted during the game's unveiling at E3 this past year. Project Spark will arrive alongside your Xbox at launch as a free-to-play digital download, but let me get you really excited. There's a 360 version in the works, too. So we don't have to get the Xbox One if you don't want to. I'm sorry, Microsoft, I do love you, but...
There we go. Hold on. I was having an issue because, the link that you gave me was not a video, and then I had to go to the videos, and the first two, wouldn't do anything.
Oh, but lovely. We're not going to show the whole thing. That's 35 minutes. But,
look at that little thingy. Oh, my God. It's so cute.
We want to kiss it. Look at him.
Lovely.
I want to pull his...
Why is it not showing up on my screen?
I want to pull his tail.
Not showing up on my screen.
We can see him. I want to pull his tail. Why can't I pull his tail?
Okay, maybe my Twitch is just locked up. I may have to.
I think your Twitch is moving, but we can see it. There's a guy standing in some snow.
There you go. I think it's because this is Twitch running twice technically, and
yes, and your Twitch is like, wait a minute.
Yep.
Danger says she wants to eat his face. I don't want to eat his face. I want to pull his tail. He's so cute.
He was so adorable.
All right, we got to get off of that because I'm going back to watch that later. Anyway, I'm so excited. 360 version.
Yay. Hold on. What happens if I hit?
Thanks, Spark.
Okay, so there's a new MMO in town. Grand Fantasia, a new free-to-play MMORPG revealed to fans gathered at massive anime convention. A vibrant new world of adventure is in store with Aurora Kingdom.
No.
Oh, okay. They're the publisher. Anyways, developed by ex-legend, creators of perennial fan favorites, even internal, the Grand Fantasia. Oh, okay. Mine. I was wrong. Is Aurora Kingdom. Aurora Kingdom promises an unparalleled journey illustrated in rich, gorgeous anime art style. Aurora Kingdom is the highest quality game we've ever seen in its genre, and we're very glad to be able to share it with the eager fans at this event. This came from J.T. Smith, because I'm not even going to try to say your name, J.T. Smith, Chief Operating Officer over at Area Games. We have high expectations that this game will resonate with our community and are excited to work with such talented developers once again. Players in Aurora Kingdom will encounter unique interactive companions that play an integral part on their journey. Far more than simple pets, these companions grow more formidable over the course of the game and gain powerful combat abilities, including joining with the player to initiate spectacular combo attacks. The companions also go on errands and retain memories of all their adventures, frequently conversing with the player about their past exploits and battles. Does it have a mute button? That's what I want. Yeah, well, anyways, it does look like I've been showing Grand Fantasia. Anyway, it's going to look about the same, but this one's called Aura Kingdom. So, hey, Aura Kingdom. It's all anime, and it's all pastels and cuteness and makes me want to go gag myself.
And I'm bleeding and want to run away screaming and stop it and no, 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 no.
Oh, there we go. There's the Aura Kingdom. Oh, little pirate chick.
Does she have an eye patch? Wait a minute, she went fast. Does she have an eye patch?
No.
Then I am not interested.
She's just got like a little pirate-looking hat.
She must.
And all the girls have those goofy-looking skirts, and their little booties are showing just about.
And their big boobs are.
I actually have armor. All the girls are.
Yes, because when I'm fighting, I don't want my boobs covered. I would like for somebody to slice me across them. I'm just saying.
No, thank you. No, thank you. No.
I don't know
no.
about you, but when I go into battle, I purposely don't wear armor over my boobs just for that reason.
And you know they're all going to make those little cutesy noises. Ah!
Let me just tell you that you were wrong for that.
You know they're going to do it.
Oh, my goodness. I try to raise them right, and they just come out this way. I don't know what to do. All right.
She lies. She totally made us this way.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's time for some charts up in here.
Charts!
I did not get any charts last week, and I got an email from somebody new that was angry. I didn't do any charts, and I was waiting because I wanted to know what you got. I'm sorry. I had to imitate them that way. That's what I imagine they sound like. Really? You're going to email me about some charts? Okay, so it's time for some charts.
Number 10.
Mm-hmm.
I had to think about it.
Coming in at number 10, Assassin's Creed.
Yay!
I don't know who's playing. Well, yeah, I do know who's playing Assassin's Creed. I was just talking to somebody not 10 seconds ago was playing Assassin's Creed. Yep. Nice. Nice.
We were looking, I think we saw it for PS3 at Walmart. Like the whole collection or something.
You were at Walmart?
Yeah, girl, I live in the boonies. We have Walmart or we got nothing.
Did you stop in the Bath and Body section? Because I need to know if they got some more of them dollar loofahs. No, anyway, so number 9.
Number 9.
Tomb Raider from Square Enix Europe. Nice.
Yay!
I like it. No, ma'am, there will be no yawning in the morning. Okay, number 8.
I can't open and sleep in. Number 8.
You guys watch how sleepy she is. Lego Batman 2.
Oh, my God. Seriously. I was, like, begging. Can I have a Wii? Can I have a Wii U? Can I have a Wii U? Can I have a Wii U? I want the Wii U. I want to play the new Lego City, whatever it is. That game.
Oh, that one. Yeah. Sorry.
Play it, but you got to have the Wii U.
That's what I heard. That's what they told me.
All right, please.
All right. Coming in at number 7.
Number 7.
Call of Duty Black Ops 2, Activision Blizzard. Why are you people still playing this game? Stop it.
I don't know.
Stop it. All right, number 6.
Number 6.
Ginger's new favorite game, The Last of Us, from Sony Computer Entertainment.
That freaks me out. Seriously.
And that means something, because don't nothing scare that woman.
It was creepy. It was a creepy game. I was like, creepy. Creepy. Right.
Number 5, the game I am jonesing over. I got all my Nintendo products in a stack by the door waiting. Animal Crossing New Leaf from Nintendo. I am so
Yay! Excited. New Leaf.
I just missed the double trade-in sale. I had my stuff ready, and then I went by the GameStop, and they were like, oh, that just ended. That was going to come back today. Well, that's all right. I made my appearance. Come in with my, you know, my short shirt on.
Hotness.
People. Okay, so number 4.
Numero 4.
Tales of Xillia from Namco Bandai Games. I have no idea about that game. I have never
Heard of it. That's what I was about to say. I was like, so what kind of game is that? Because I've never heard of it.
I'm out of the loop on that one. Sorry. Now, this next one, I am looking at going, why? The Smurfs 2.
The Smurfs 2!
Who is playing this game? Who is playing the Smurfs?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure if we're not supposed to watch the movie, we shouldn't play the game either.
Ugh. Number two, I give y'all three guesses what it is.
I bet it starts with an F and ends with an IFA.
That would be it. Never leaves the top four. FIFA 13, EA.
You FIFA people are some addicted freaks.
I just wanted y'all to know I got blown off for FIFA this weekend. And the person I'm talking to is listening. You're going to pay dearly, just so you know.
You got blown off for FIFA?
Yeah, because when GTA comes out, he's going to get blown off for a whole week. I don't want to talk to you. Don't say anything to me. You do not exist.
Is his name a J of the Dukes?
No, it was not the J of the Dukes.
Okay.
Jay would never blow us off for FIFA.
I was hoping not. I was hoping not. I mean, I would have to divorce
that
him.
That would be Horace. That would be Horace that would blow us off for FIFA.
Or he does that all the time. Are you surprised that Horace did that?
Transformers is what he blows us off for. And I get, speaking of being blown off and addictions and things, number one, Baby Natrix's favorite,
Minecraft. Yeah, seriously. I've been on an addiction for that again, and it's so sad. I can't get away. I keep trying, and then I just can't.
It got really bad here Friday. She had it on the Xbox. Her cousin was here. They were running it on the iPads at the same time. It was insane, and didn't want anybody to touch anything. Wait a minute! I'm playing that.
You know who she's taking after there, right?
Yeah, she's in a little binge game, and it's all right. But just so she understands, and all of you understand, when GTA is released, all of you cease to exist. All of you, I love you, but you will cease to exist, at least for the first 4 hours, and then we will do multiplayer, in which case I will speak to you, but only if you're playing GTA, because if you're not and you text or call me, you do not exist.
Sorry, I'm over here laughing and trying to drink, and I'm choking. Nice. All right, so do you happen to have an extra $1 million laying around, Corey?
I do, right here on my desk.
Exactly $1 million. And then, you know, I could get the new Saints Row Dangerous WoD Edition. Yeah, Saints Row 4 Dangerous WoD Edition. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. Hold on to your panties. Steve Silver has announced an insane gag SKU for Saints Row 4 called Dangerous WoD Edition. Dangerous WoD, yeah. They say it's a marketing joke to draw attention to the upcoming release of Deep Silver Saints Row 4 and UK retailer Game Reels SKUs for the game. Somebody's going to be crazy enough to buy this. The Dangerous WoD Edition costs $1 million. I can't talk. The Dangerous WoD Edition costs $1 million, and it's only available in the UK through Game, and there's only one copy available in the world. So somebody with too much money on their hands is going to buy this. Saints Row, all right, so it comes with Saints Row 4 Commander-in-Chief Edition, a full-sized replica dubstep gun, a full day of spy training, a trip to space with Virgin Galactic, 1 year's membership of E25 Supercar Club, and a Lamborghini Gallardo to make it worthwhile, plastic surgery of the purchaser's choice, a shopping spree with a personal shopper to create the ultimate Planet Saints capsule wardrobe, 7 nights for two at the Jefferson Hotel in Washington, hostage rescue experience, a brand new Toyota Prius, and entrance to give something back to the environment, 7-night stay at the top royal suite at the Burj Al Arab with flights for two. All right, so which one of you sexy guys wants to buy this and take me? Huh? I know one of you do. Jay, I'm looking at you, my future husband. I need $1 million.
Oh, no. Jay was big balling over the weekend with the sale, so he didn't want to spend the 25 cents. He says I have the $100, so he was big. No, I don't know. I'm just making up stuff. He may not have any money left to spend on you after that.
Well, then I may have to find another future husband.
Jay even put down.
I mean, if he can't afford $1 million to buy me some crazy game, you know, spy training. Come on,
Jay, you've been
and I get to go to space.
Jay, you've been put down. I'm sorry.
Get the money from Danger.
I'm trying to console you. You've been put down. All right. Just so you guys know, there is a race to the sun. Apocalypse.
To the sun.
The sun, yes. Let me
we
get on my ass.
We have fun with that. There ain't enough sunscreen in the world.
Bursting. Make sure you put up that trailer I just gave you. Bursting. Are we ready? Because you're going to ruin my whole, you know.
I got it. I got it. It's going.
Bursting through an ever-shifting world of unknown terrain, challenging fate with every second, death is the only certainty in Race to the Sun. With the unveiling of Apocalypse, a new mode for the most devoutly masochistic, the end comes even sooner. And Flippy Fly's Endless Racer. Yeah, that sounds like a racer. Race to the Sun, Race to the Sun is going to be out on August 19th in a few short days for Windows, Mac, and Linux. Because when you
anybody else thinking that the
With the latest
game is not.
We got to do it. With the latest update, pre-order customers can access the full game immediately, including Apocalypse Mode. Race to the Sun is a hyperkinetic endless.
I saw this thing clip its wings on the wall several times, and it did not stop.
Woman, let me get this out. With minimalist, they're saying it's minimalist. Understand? It's minimalist. You made me
bad coding is what it is.
Minimalist style. The rules are simple. Do not crash. Rack up points and keep boosting to keep your solar powered craft in the ever sinking rays of the sun. Race to the Sun uses a mixture of handcrafted and procedurally generated stages to provide a unique world every day. And it also invites you to make and create your own. You can find them at flippy.com/racethesun if you are so interested in playing. So inclined to play, it's only going to cost you $10. And again, it comes on all of the PC platforms, Windows, Mac, and Linux. Interesting. Nobody wants to try this one out?
No, because I saw it clip its wings several times over there on the walls. And it just kept right on going. I was like,
driving. Oh, it didn't crash is what you're saying. I got
it. No, it didn't crash. I was like, that's not cool. It should have crashed.
By the way, yeah. I got to do this one before we go because I just have to get you all up in the higher register. I got
to. Yeah, because it's so hard to get me there, right?
Yeah. Go ahead and open that up. Well,
why do I recognize that?
You should recognize it. It's the Omni Treadmill.
Yay, the Omni Treadmill. Oh, my God.
In case you have not been over here to visit us recently, this is the Omni Treadmill designed to let you walk, run, or jump in place while you play games with your Oculus Rift.
I'm getting it. I'm coming in January.
You get the Rift 2 to go along with it? Because,
Oh, yeah.
Yep, they are now officially accepting pre-orders. You can go over to this website, virtuix.com. The company says the order should ship in March, Ginger, so no January for you. Originally,
I got mine came from Kickstarter. So,
Will work. The rest of you will be getting it in March. So just so you know the dimensions, this is 4 foot tall, 110 pounds, 360 degree treadmill. Made again by a company called Virtuix. The Omni is also sold with special shoes and a harness belt that you strap around yourself for safety. This will run you around $499. If you go to the website and you enter this code, VR50, you will get $50 off. Rift. Meanwhile, the Rift has made available a $300 prototype dev kit for those of you who want to make games for it. They did manage to raise themselves $1.1 million for their Kickstarter just last month. Ginger, you need to ask them, can you get some of that back?
All right. Oh, it's so sexy.
I like
playing Minecraft.
See, you look at that, it's actually going to work with Skyrim. That's the one that has me, like, considering it seriously.
It's with
Skyrim.
Sexy.
Yeah, I would get this for Skyrim, but I'm telling you, I'd have a heart attack because, you know, I'm one of those people that's got to look at everything. It's bad with a controller when I'm actually moving and walking. Oh, ho, you all may have to keep an ambulance on standby.
This is so sexy. Oh, my God, I want to touch myself.
But they don't have many games yet. I hope a lot of you jump in there and do some more games. You know what? Who I see grabbing this? Your people that you hate that made Angry Birds. They're gonna do something with this one.
Oh God! Yeah, they are.
You are the Angry Bird, and you're gonna.
Yeah. Oh, and this is also going with this has already been made to work with Second Life. So
it is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I'm so going to be dead. Oh, imagine building with this in Second Life. Imagine making mesh with this since they left.
And the one game I'm waiting, I cannot wait to play with this, is going to be Fallen Earth. I'm this going to die playing Fallen Earth.
We all will die playing Fallen Earth. I've been looking for tainted milk for months, and when I go to look for it with this, it's going to be bad. I was trying to outrun the zombies, riding a motorcycle. Oh, my God.
I know, and you're actually running in real life. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Going to die. Going to die. This is going to be so good. It's going to be so good.
We're all going to look like crackheads.
But you know what? We're going to be skinny crackheads.
It's all right. It's all right.
It's all right. It's all right. Ooh, Portal with it. Oh, my God. Yes. Oh, okay. So,
yes, Joe, die with a smile on my face. Just like the Joker, just grinning. Just fall over dead. Oh, and there's food just out of reach.
Yes. All right. Sorry, guys. I started yawning there for a minute.
No,
all right, so Soma Games releases Minecraft adventure map of Redwall Abbey, which I'm going to have to get my hands on and check out. Ooh. Oh, wait, this is loud. Where's the sound? Where's the sound? Stop with the sound. Okay.
Is that a name of
Soma Games? A map? Well, no, I guess it's a book or something, but they've made a map from Minecraft based off of it.
Oh.
Soma Games, the gaming arm of the award-winning development company Code Monkeys, today released Abbeycraft, a Minecraft adventure map recreation of Redwall Abbey, the famed setting from Brian Hawkes' best-selling children's fantasy book series Redwall. Abbeycraft is the precursor release to Redwall: The Warriors Reborn, the first officially licensed game adaptation of the hugely popular Redwall series currently in development. The project successfully raised its initial funding through Kickstarter, and continues to crowdsource game development through active participation from Redwall fans and Minecraft users. Abbeycraft is the first phase in the release of Redwall, the Warrior Reborn, a 3D progressive adventure game that will bring the vivid world to life through exploration, puzzles, and collaborative gameplay that is as much about the geography and the buildings from the story as it is about interacting with the characters themselves. This sounds really cool. And there's not much more about that, but I'm going to scroll down a little bit so you can see it a little bit better. But anyways, look, they got a cool little texture pack, it looks like, and that's going to be kind of cool. I am going to have to try to get my hands on this and check it out, because that sounds really kind of neat, and play it, because Now, I'm not very good with building inside Second Life. Minecraft. Everybody else loves to build in Minecraft. Big, huge buildings, railways, all this. No, I'm down. In
the Matrix built her name. It spelled out her name.
No. I build tunnels. I've got massive tunnel systems inside the maps that I play.
Oh, and her thing is to set traps for her cousin. That just tickles her pink.
So that she can kill her cousin?
Yeah, no, not only does she set traps, like they have their own little area where the cousin has a house and she has a house, so when the cousin is offline, she goes over and puts traps all in her house. And I mean, they're elaborate. They're like, you know, things she'll be opening her door and then the trap door will fall out beneath her or something.
It's wow, like, that is cool.
It's not cool, it's mean. Then I hear, is this a trap? I can't get in my house. I can't get out. See, you know what? That laugh right there, that's the one she does. Evil, you did this to my child.
That is funny. That is funny. Oh, my God.
Funny.
That is so cool.
It is not funny. I don't want to hear the whining.
Yeah, speaking of that, reminds me, I got to smack some kids around. I guess some kids have moved in the neighborhood, in my Minecraft neighborhood. And yeah.
All right, I got one more before we have to go.
Don't mess with my stuff.
I got one more before we go. Shh, it's okay,
Gingerbread. I'm like, can I have this? I see you got this in your house. Can I have this? No, get yourself.
All right, you lovely folk, I'm going to need you to go and make sure you check this one out after I tell you about it. Piranha Games has managed to raise $100,000 for cancer charity. This is in honor of a young Mech Warrior online fan, Sarah Perry's. They created a special mech in memory of 5-year-old Sarah. They raised over 102,000 $230 and counting for the Canadian Cancer Society. MechWarrior Online players were invited to spend $10 on a special Jenner mech, which was the class favored by young Canadian gamer Sarah Aldi-Perry, and she unfortunately passed away in May. Piranha Games Brian Ekman said that when we first had this idea for Sarah Jenner, we thought that $10,000 would be a number we could all be proud of. The response from the MechWarrior community and from the games industry at large has been overwhelming. We can't thank everyone enough for unifying in this effort to raise money for the Canadian Cancer Society and cancer research. The campaign remains open until August 20th, so you can go there and purchase a mech. I would say do it even if you don't play the game, because it's a good cause.
It is. It's a great cause.
Yeah. And I love when we do good things. Unfortunately, it does not make it to the big news. Sarah's father is quoted as saying he can never thank all of you enough for the time and effort that we all have put in. And he says it helped a lot knowing that people out there legitimately care. So, again, make sure you get over and do that. Did I give you the link? I did give you the
link. Yeah, I thought I had that. Did I not?
I'm not looking over there.
I forgot to hit share screen. There we go.
MWOMERCS.com/Sarah to get your MechWarrior, or go ahead and donate if you can. The Canadian Cancer Society. You know how to go find stuff. You all are smart. You all small bunch. Smart bunch.
That's amazing. That's so sweet. And, you know, everybody's like, gamers are evil. They're all self-centered little twats. No, we're not.
Did you really say that?
Maybe.
What are we going to do with you? We still got more time.
We do. So let me do this next one. American Express offering you a debit card that you don't need. All right, so American Express offer League of Legends branded debit card.
I want it.
Really? You don't even play LOL.
I don't.
American Express plans to offer a line of prepaid debit cards featuring images and characters from Riot Games' popular MOBA game, League of Legends. The company will announce new branded debit cards on Wednesday. The cards will allow cardholders to get Riot points that can be used to buy characters and other extras in-game. Users will receive 1,000 of those points when they sign up for the card and an additional 1,000 points after loading $20 onto the card. Extra points are earned for the first 10 purchases made with the card, and 10,000 points can be earned by linking it to a direct deposit account. Additional points can be earned for every dollar spent after that. American Express will deploy a 30-second video to explain the prepaid card, and banner ads will begin showing up on the League of Legends Championship Series website, which is what we all want to see on our game websites, right?
Yes.
An American Express website explaining the card will also be launched on Wednesday. This sounds like a gimmick to get you to pay them money. Don't do it!
I want it.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
All right, now it'd be time for us to go. So we'll see you guys bright and early tomorrow morning.
Yay! Tuesday, another Tuesday.
So make sure you are here listening. Got some more juice, because all kind of juice comes up during the day. Full of pulp and everything.
Some of y'all cannot stop fighting.
Yeah, I see fighting now. We just don't have time to tell you about it, so you have to listen tomorrow. Or I might tweet it. I might tweet it out.
Woo-woo!
Woo-woo!
Woo-woo-woo-woo.
This is for Ginger right here. This song is for you. This cocaine ninja is smashing dishes. My drummer was naughty, so I made him face the wall. I need to get up.
Yeah, that's pretty fitting. It's something that you like. Minecraft.
I can't right now, because I'm playing in prison.
Oh, I hate that game. right, folks. Later, boys and girls. And don't play that game, okay? Really, don't do it. Don't do it. Bye.